We're holding on Sadik Hay, Umud Bey's second line from the bottom. We're talking about, in the Mishnah, we had a Machloikas, Reb Meir, well, we said the Tanakamo, who we said is according to the opinion of Reb Meir, and Reb Gamliel, about if a person finds tefillin on Shabbos out in the field or wherever, how many of them can he wear at a time into the city in order to save them? The Tanakama had said one pair at a time. Reb Gamliel had said two pair at a time. So we started discussing, now there's a number of different intersecting issues that we have over here, which as the Gemara is going to say, are going to affect the question of whether you're allowed to do this in the first place and how many you'd be allowed to do. One consideration is that, of course, you can't carry on Shabbos, so whatever you're wearing has to be derech malbush, has to be that you're wearing it in the normal way it would be worn. So we said Reb Meir, who allows you normally to wear as many clothes, as many of a certain item of clothing as you want in order to save them from a fire, but here, since you never wear more than one pair of tefillin at a time, then therefore Reb Meir only allows you to save one at a time. As opposed to, then we said Reb Gamliel, we said there is actually room on the head and on the arm to put two pair of tefillin. So you do physically have room over there to put two pair. So we started saying, okay, does that mean then that Reb Gamliel and the Chachamim are arguing about that metzius, about whether there is that room to put two pair or not? Reb Gamliel would say yes, and the Chachamim would say no. So we started saying that no, the first possibility is we can say that Reb Gamliel and the Tanakama are arguing about the question of whether Shabbos is the time to wear tefillin. We would say then the Tanakama says that it is Zman tefillin. So if you wear more than one pair, if you wear more than one pair on Shabbos, then you have two problems. Number one is that it can't be considered a tachshit. It can't be considered an ornament for you because it's not normal to wear more than one pair on weekdays. You also have, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the possible problem of bal toisif, that you're doing the mitzvah in a way where you're adding something to the mitzvah because you're only supposed to wear one pair at a time, and here you're wearing two pair. Good morning, Aaron. So the Tanakama would limit you to one because of those considerations, whereas Reb Gamliel would say that Shabbos is not zman tefillin. So as long as it can count as a tachshit, then it's okay. Yeah, there's obviously no issue of baltosif because you're not doing the mitzvah. And as far as it being a tachshit, Reb Gamliel says that you can be wearing two of them at a time and it's still considered a tachshit. So that was the first way we said of explaining the machlokes. An interesting side thing, by the way, that we see from what Rashi is saying over here, that we're saying that if you can't wear something on Shabbos, then it would be considered, in this case, because of the issue of Bal Tosif, would be a reason not to wear a second pair. Then it comes out that it's a masui. The Minchas Chinuch, for example, says on that an interesting idea. What if, for example, we know on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes. He says, based on this, it would seem if a person were to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur, not only they'd be over on the issue of Yom Kippur, other than eating and doing malacha, he's not chayiv karis for it. He's only chayiv malchus. But he says he might also be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos if he wears them in Rosh Hashanah. Because after all, based on what Rashi is saying over here, anything which you're not allowed to do, anything you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos because of a different isser, is considered a masri, is considered a burden. And over here, you're not allowed to wear these shoes because it's Yom Kippur, so therefore it might be considered a burden. And different achronim talk about the pros and cons of whether that comparison is valid. Anyway. Getting back to the Gemara then, so two lines from the bottom of Tzadik Hei Amud Beis. So again, the first answer was that we said the Tanakama and Reb Gamliel are arguing on the question of whether Shabbos is man tefil or not. The Bois Ema, another possibility, Dekula Alma Shabbos Zman Tefillin Hu. You could answer that both the Tanakama and Reb Gamliel agree that Shabbos is the proper time to wear tefillin. So therefore, it's not a matter of being a tachshit. It's a matter of it being a malbush. But the question is, v'hocha b'mitzvus tzriches kavana kamithlagi. The argument would be, does doing a mitzvah require kavana? Is it possible to accomplish the deed of a mitzvah without actually having in mind to do it? So now the problem is, now there's two different girsahs over here. The girsah we have in front of us is Rashi's first girsah. Which is that the Tanakhama holds myth, so Tanakhama holds Tanakhama sava lotzes boi kavana. The Tanakhama would hold to be yotze the mitzvah, you're not yotze unless you actually have kavana. Which means, therefore, so if you wear one pair, then good. Then you're being yotze the mitzvah because Shabbos is on tefillin. But if you wear more than one pair, then you have a problem. If you have kavana that you're doing for the mitzvah, then you have bal toisif because you're adding to the mitzvah. You're wearing two pairs instead of one. If you're not having kavana for the mitzvah, then you're not doing the mitzvah at all. Then both of them are masui, both of them are burden, neither of them are tachshit. Therefore, the Tanakhama says only one. Whereas Rem Gamliel, Rem Gamliel sava loy boy kavana, Rem Gamliel says mitzvahs ein sriches kavana. So he says you wouldn't be over on Bal Tosif unless specifically you had in mind that you're going to be doing the mitzvah with the second one. And you're not, because you're not wearing these over here now for the mitzvah at all. You're wearing them for the sake of being able to save them. So each one could be considered for the mitzvah. Okay, Rashi mentions though, so Rashi brings that explanation, but then he says that it's still okay, you don't have Bal Tosif. You still have the Isser Shabbos. And we're trying to say over here that Tanakhama and Rem Gamliel are arguing on the question. You can't say that the Tanakhama is saying it's not a tachshit and Rem Gamliel is saying that it's a tachshit. First of all, the Gemara doesn't mention that point. And second of all, that amounts to the same thing as whether Shabbos is man tefillin or not. If we say Shabbos is man tefillin, then we consider it that it's for the mitzvah. And if we say Shabbos lav is man tefillin, we can consider it a tachshit. So Rashi prefers a girsa the other way around. The Tanakhama holds mitzvahs ein sriches kavana. So it is a tachshit. Now, you yotze though, even without kavana. So therefore, even if you don't have kavana to do the mitzvah with two of them, nevertheless, the very fact that you're wearing two of them means that you're trying to be mekayim the mitzvah with two of them. And so you're over on Bal Tosif. And Rem Gamliel holds mitzvah sriches kavana. So therefore, since he doesn't have specifically in mind that he wants to do the mitzvah with the both of them, then there's no issur of Bal Tosif, and therefore he's allowed to wear both pairs. That's the opposite girsa of what we have in the Gemara over here, and that's the girsa that Rashi prefers. You wouldn't make a bracha, Papash, just now. The boys say, you have, by the way, the Ture Evan, the Shagas Aliyah asks on this, according to this, why don't we just say that he should specifically have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah, and then even if we say mitzvah sein sriches kavana, the fact that he has specifically in mind not to be yotze should make it then he's not over on Bal Tosif. Anyway, the point is that that's another way of understanding the machloikas of Rem Gamliel and the Chachamim, is that they both agree that Shabbos is man tefillin, but it's a question of, are you going to be over on Bal Tosif when you wear that extra pair or not? The boys
question.
Say, more, what?
Yeah. Question. It says v'hayul ois. One word.
We're going to get to that soon about Shabbos being an ois. We'll get to that point soon. Right now, we're talking.
But one
right
second.
Now,
it says ois instead of osios. So that rule should point to one, not two.
No, because that's the ois al yodcha. The one on the shel yad refers to an ois. That's fine. We're not saying over here that that's the point. We're saying the Torah says to wear only one pair of tefillin. In fact, the Ritva points on this, an interesting point. Now we have in certain areas of halacha, for example, you know, when it comes to the Dalet Minyan, there's machloikas between the Rambam and the Ravid. If you were to add, let's say, we know if you add a fifth min to the Dalet Minyan, you're over on Bal Tosif. What would happen, for example, if let's say you took two lulavim instead of just one, or you add an extra esrig or whatever? So, are you over on Bal Tosif or not? The Rambam actually in Hilchas Sukkah learns that you actually would be over on Bal Tosif if you add more of any of the minim, except he says maybe the Hadas, because you can add more in order to make a nice large bundle. Okay, and a tshuva later on he changed his mind and said, fine, so what it is he says you're over on Bal Tosif, and it's possible if you add an extra lulav or an extra esrog or an extra arabas, only extra hadasim, fine, it makes it look nice, so therefore it's no mitzvah. In a tshuva later on, the Kesef Mishnah quotes a tshuva from the Rambam where he changed changed his mind on that. He said, fine, it won't pass the lit, but you'd still be over on Baal Tosif. The Ravid disagrees with that and says it wouldn't be Baal Tosif. But so the different, the Nosa Kalim on the Rambam deal with in detail why over there, according to the Ravid, might it not be Baal Tosif if you added a second lulav, and here it would be if you put on two pair of tefillin at a time. One consideration is there's a din, the minimum of the lulav don't have to be bound together. So therefore, when you pick up one and then you pick up the other, then you're not necessarily adding to the mitzvah at the same time. Whatever, it's a whole long arichos over there. One interesting point the Ritva makes in connection with our Gemara is that adrabba, we don't want you to be where, even if you were to argue that you could maybe find a heter for it, we don't want you wearing two pair of tefillin at a time to be yotze the mitzvah, because then what's the whole point of tefillin is that you're acknowledging the Eibishter. If you put on two pair at a time, it makes it look like you believe that there's two gods, chas v'shalom. So therefore, don't do that. What? No, Kshav 10 means you, plural, should tie them. But ois means one. So yeah, so you do want only one ois, because you don't want to look like you're acknowledging two gods, chas v'shalom. But, Chotafis is Lashon Rabbim, but that means four, that's the four batim in the Shorosh. All right, let's go on. So the point is, so again, even Rav Gamliel is not saying you can be yotze the mitzvah with two of them. He's just saying, based on what we're saying so far, either Bechlal, he holds that Shabbos is not the proper time for tefillin, so you're not yotze the mitzvah anyway, so therefore you might as well wear two. You have no problem with Baal Tosif. Or we're saying, the second answer, we said that he says Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, but putting on the second one is not going to be over on Baal Tosif, either according to Rashi's first explanation, because mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana, because he's not over on Baal Tosif unless he intends to do the mitzvah, or according to the second girsa in Rashi, the other way around, that it would have to be, for him to be over on Baal Tosif, he would actually have to have in mind, I want to fulfill the mitzvah with these both, and he's not, because he just wants to save them. V'iboyseim, a third possibility, dekola amalotzis leboy kavana, we could say that you're right, when it comes to being yotze the mitzvah, everybody would agree, the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel, that you don't need kavana. So the question would be strictly on the question of Baal Tosif. The Tanakhama would say, Tanakhama savar lava mishum Baal Tosif leboy kavana. The Tanakhama would say like this, when it comes to being yotze the mitzvah, no, you don't need kavana. Just that you do the maisa mitzvah without kavana is enough. But when it comes to Baal Tosif, you're only going to be over on it if you actually have kavana that I want to wear these two pairs of tefillin in order to be yotze the mitzvah. But Rav Gamliel savar lava mishum Baal Tosif boy kavana. The Tanakhama would hold loy boy kavana. You're over on Baal Tosif, even if you don't have kavana for it. So you didn't have kavana to do the mitzvah. You don't have kavana to do Baal Tosif. The Tanakhama says you're still over on Baal Tosif. Because after all, if you didn't have kavana at all, you're still yotze the mitzvah. So therefore now, if you don't have kavana for Baal Tosif, nevertheless, you're still putting on two pairs and you're over on that. What does Rav Gamliel say? Rav Gamliel savar lava mishum Baal Tosif boy kavana. Rav Gamliel would say that in order to be yotze the mitzvah, you don't need kavana. But if you're going to make the person say, if you're going to say that the person is guilty of being over on Baal Tosif, for that he would have to have kavana. And he doesn't have kavana over here. Therefore, Rav Gamliel says that since he doesn't have such kavana to actually wear two pair in order to be yotze the mitzvah, then he can wear two pair in order to save them on Shabbos. The boyseima, or a fourth possibility, e on the Shabbos Zman Tefillin, if in fact we hold that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. Now, the second and third answers that we said over here require us to say that Shabbos Zman Tefillin. So the question is about Kavana to be Yotze the Mitzvah, or Kavana for Baal Tosif. Let's go back to the assumption that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, to Kulei Amaloi. If we were to hold that Shabbos Zman Tefillin, you would say Dekula Alma Loy Lava Boy Kavana Veloy Lotzis Boy Kavana. Then we would say both the Chachamim and Rav Gamliel would agree that you don't need Kavana in order to be Yotze the Mitzvah or to be over the Mitzvah. So then you would only be able to wear one pair at a time. But V'Hocha B'Lava Shaloy B'Zmanei Kamiflegi. We can say the Machloikas is, given that, let's say we assume that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin after all. We assume that both the Tanakhama and Rav Gamliel agree to it. So far, we didn't have such an answer. The first answer was we assumed that itself is the machlokes between them, whether Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. The second and third answers required us to say Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, and we were talking about issues of Kavana. Now we're going to say no, both of them can agree that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, but the question would be, V'hocha b'laver shaloi b'zmanik emiflegi. Are you over on Baal Tosif when you do something for a mitzvah outside of its proper time? The Tanakhama would hold, even though you didn't have kavana, and even though it's not the time to do the mitzvah, the very fact that you're putting on two pairs of tefillin at the same time means that you're over on Baal Tosif. Ram Gamliel Sabah, Lava Shaloi Bizmane, Boy Kavana. Ram Gamliel would say, yeah, if you were putting them on a weekday, which is Zman Tfilin, sure, you'd be over on Baal Tosif as soon as you put them on, even without Kavana. But given that Shabbos is not Zman Tfilin, the only way you're going to be over on Baal Tosif is if you're actually saying, I'm doing this in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, here you're not doing that, therefore you can wear the two pair. So the question is, if you use that answer, then, okay, you've explained Rav Gamliel, but what about Rav Meir then? According to Rav Meir, if Shabbos labs man tefillin hu, and if we're saying that you're over on Baal Tosif, even when you do it at the wrong time, then you shouldn't be allowed even the one pair on Shabbos, because as soon as you put them on, you're being moisif on the mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah outside of its time. But that's we're saying Rav Meir, because Rav Meir is the Tanakam. We said the Tanakama of our missionaries according to Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, you're still doing Baal Tosif. You're saying the Torah tells you to wear tefillin only on weekdays, but I'm going to wear them on Shabbos as well. And then as soon as you put them on, then even just one pair, then you're over on the mitzvah. So how can Rav Meir allow you to wear even one pair? And also another question, what about by the logic that we're attributing to the mayor, Hayoshin Bashmini Basukha Yoka? If a person were to sleep or eat or do anything else in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, he should be getting Malkus. Now we know, of course, we sit in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres outside Eretz Yisrael because of Sveika de Yoma, because it might actually be the seventh day of Sukkot. But after all, the Torah tells us Basukas Teshu Shivas Yamin. So by this logic, if you're saying that if you're doing a mitzvah outside of its proper time, then you're over on Baal Tosif, even though you don't have kavana for it, then the moment you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and eat over there, then you should be Chayav Malkus for Baal Tosif. And you can't say that. The fact is the Chacham told us Adarav, but we do need to sit in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. No, well, now it's Israel, fine, but the fact still remains that, yeah. So, but even over here, we're doing it because of Sveika de Yoma. But if it was actually also Daraisa to do it, then the Chacham can't tell us to do it, right, by that logic. So it's clear we have to answer like we did originally. Now, on the face of it, we've only slugged up the fourth possible argument. We still have any of the other three. We still have any of the other three possible ways of understanding the machlokas. However, Rashi says we're going all the way back to the first one, that Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim are actually arguing on the question of whether Shabbos is man tefillin or not. So the Tanakhama is saying that Shabbos is man tefillin, and therefore you can't wear more than one pair because more than one pair won't be a tachshit and you will be over on Baal Tosif. And Rav Gamliel says it's not zman tefillin anyway, you're not putting them on and being yotze the mitzvah in any possible way anyway, therefore you can wear two pair because there is after a room on the head to wear two pair, on the head and on the arm to wear two pair. Incidentally, by the way, as far as this sitting in a sukkah Shmini Atzeres, there's the interesting point that they talk about. So why is it that the Chacham didn't tell us by the same logic to take Lulav and Esrog on Shmini Atzeres as well, because of Sveika de Yoma? So there's two reasons. Number one, min haTorah. Well, it is a separate Yom Tov, but it's also Sveika de Yoma. So why don't we? So there's two answers. Number one, min haTorah outside Eretz Yisrael, you anyway only need to take the Lulav of the first day. The rest of the days is only a takana of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, so we don't have to do it because of Sveika de Yoma. But the other reason is because when you're sitting in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres, yes, you're doing it in order because of Sveika de Yoma. But the fact is, you could always use the excuse, I'm sitting over here because it's comfortable out. It's nice to sit over here. Okay, maybe it doesn't work so well when it's pouring rain, as happens sometimes. But at least when it's not, then okay, you know, this year, like for example, you know, we had a nice sukkah mostly. Then yeah, so you could say I'm sitting over here because it's nice and cool and whatever. As opposed to you pick up the lulav and esrog, it's pretty obvious you're doing it for the mitzvah, and that would be a more blatant thing of Baal Tosif. Well, if you make a bracha, it'd be a bracha levatala. But Shmini Atzeres, we don't make a bracha on the sukkah anyway. Fine. Okay. According to Rashi, we're left with the first answer, that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds Shabbos Zman Tefillin, and Rav Gamliel holds Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin. So therefore, that affects the question of whether you can wear one pair or two pair at a time. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Uman Shamet Le Shabbos Zman Tefillin. Fine, which Tana have, now we're attributing to the Meir and Rav Gamliel the respective opinions about Shabbos is man tefillin and not. Where do we find such a machloikas tanoia more explicitly? Which Tana more explicitly says Shabbos is man tefillin? The answer is Rabbi Akiva. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, now the Pasuk says, V'shamarta esachuka hazois l'mayada, this is one of the Pasukim we say in Rabbi Natan's Tefillin, you should keep this law, l'mayada, in its time, miyamim yamima, from yamim to yamima. Now we're going to see there's two possible ways of understanding this. Is the Pasuk talking about the mitzvah of Tefillin, and it's telling us that you have to put on Tefillin every day, or is this Pasuk telling us about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which takes place once a year, and then miyamim yamima would be from year to year? So the word yomim can mean a year. Like yomim achadim, exactly, in this week's parasha. Yeah, when very good, thank you. So when Rivka's mother and brother say, let her stay yomim, also Rashi says yomim means a year, exactly, yeah. But your word yomim can also mean days. So the Tanakh, so first we have yomim v'loy leilos. The word yomim means that it applies only by day, not by night. Mi yomim, but then it says from the days, meaning a miut, that only some days do you, v'loy kol yomim, not all the days, prat l'shabbos es v'yomim tovim. This excludes Shabbos and Yom Tov, divir Rabbi Yosi Aglili. This is what Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, that therefore you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Tosfos brings up the famous question over here: what about Chol HaMoed? Is Chol HaMoed considered like Yom Tov for that purpose, or is it not? And this is the result: is you have the Adai Yom Hazeh, you have the different minhagim, where in many parts in the Ashkenazim, Veltash Ashkenazim do wear tefillin doing Chol HaMoed, Sfaradim and Chassidim generally don't. In Eretz Yisrael, I don't think they do at all on Chol HaMoed, and even those who do wear them without a bracha, yeah, and then so forth, yeah. One of the major sources for it is based on this Tosfos over here. Tosfos starts saying, since the Gemara is going to say soon that Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered an ois, then Chol HaMoed is also a certain ois, because you're also in certain kinds of malacha. And you chayiv in mitzvahs, you chayiv in sukkah, you chayiv in matzah, or not in matzah, you chayiv to eat chametz. So therefore you shouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So he brings from Halachas Gdolos that would be the case, but then he brings from a Yerushalmi, which seems to imply that you do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So it ends up being, it turns out, it's an ancient machloikas, and then we have it Adai Yom Hazeh. The Zohar says the Zohar takes the side of that you don't. The Zohar, in fact, says a person wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed is chayiv misa, which is why the Baal Shem Tov introduced and then it became the Chassidish Minyag that you don't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Okay. So anyway, so Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that the Pasuk is telling us that you don't. The Baal Shem Tov, it says in the Zohar that you know, a person wears tefillin Chol HaMoed is chayiv misa. Therefore, that became the middle the Baal Shem Tov introduced that. And, yeah, okay, anyway. Fine. So anyway, so Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that the Pasuk v'shamarta asachuka azos l'mayadam yamim yamima means that you don't wear tefillin at night and you don't wear them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And according to some opinions, Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Akiva says no. Loi nema chukazu elon inin Pesach bilvad. No, the word chukah in this pasuk refers to the Korban Pesach, and it's telling you, which is talked about in the previous Pesukim, so it's the miyamim yamima, means once a year. So he's telling. So the Pasuk is telling us that you have to bring the Korban Pesach once a year. Nothing about tefillin. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva doesn't have a Pasuk to tell us that nighttime and Shabbos and Yom Tov shouldn't be times to wear tefillin, implying that according to him, Shabbos and Yom Tov is man tefillin. And Chol HaMoed, yeah. Okay, so the question is the Ela Hadatnan. Based on that, then now we learn in the first Mishnah of Chrysos lists the 36 things for which a person can be chayav kares. 34 of them are loisa, says, and then it finishes off ha Pesach vaMila mitzvahs eser, the Korban Pesach and Mila. If a person doesn't bring the Korban Pesach in its time, and a person doesn't get a bris Mila, then he's chayav kares, even though those are mitzvahs asay. Those are mitzvahs asay which a person can be chayav kares for. In the case of the Korban Pesach, we'll learn in Pesachim, the next Masechta Be'ez Hashem, we'll learn towards the end. There's a whole machloikas over there. Does it apply if he brought Pesach Sheni? What exactly are the details when he's Chayiv Kares and when not? But as far as Mila, the Rambam learns that when would a person be Chayiv Kares for Mila if he went his entire life never having a Bris Mila? Before he passes away, then he's then not having had a Bris Mila, then he's Chayiv Kares. Anyway, the point is, the Mishnah is saying those two are mitzvahs asay. Lema deloike Rabbi Akiva. Would we have to say then that Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva? De'i Rabbi Akiva, if it went according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Pasuk v'shamarta as a chukah azois is referring to the Korban Pesach, kiven de muki loba Pesach, since he says that Pasuk is referring to the Korban Pesach, and it starts with the word v'shamarta, Lav nami ika. You would have to say, according to Rabbi Akiva, that there was a lav involved with the Korban Pesach. Not just the eser, bring the Korban Pesach in its proper time, but a lav. Don't fail to bring the Korban Pesach when you're supposed to. And you can, yeah, just like, for example, with Shabbos. You have a mitzvah saseh to rest on Shabbos, and a loisa saseh not to work on Shabbos, and the same thing, many other things, yeah. So on the face of it, you have a loisa saseh over here, because kiddur of oven omer Rabbi Loi, like what Rabbi Oven says in the name of Rabbi Loi, the omer of oven omer Rabbi Loi, kol mokam shenema hi shomer pen va'al, whenever the Torah tells us that, whenever the Torah introduces a mitzvah with the word hi shomer, be careful, or pen, lest, or al, don't, all of those, eina ela beloisese, then it means it's a loisese. So by that logic, the word v'shamarta is basically the same as hishomer, it's the same shodesh. So v'shamarta as a chukah azos should mean that there was a loisese involved with the Korban Pesach. Don't fail to bring the Korban Pesach on your dalad nissen when you're supposed to. That would mean that the Pesach involves a loisese. And yet the Mishnah in Krisis is telling us it's only a mitzvah sase. So that doesn't seem to work out according to Rabbi Akiva. The answer is, Afilu Temer Rabbi Akiva. The answer is you could say even that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, because we would say he shomer de lav lav, he shomer de esse esse. When the Torah tells us he shomer in connection with a lav, and Rashi brings some examples over here. Let's say he shomer lacha pen tichres bris, for example. Be careful that you don't make a covenant with the goyim who are left in Eretz Yisrael and allow them to live there and worship their gods and whatever. He shomer lacha pen tinokesh, he shomer benegatzeras, etc. So each of those, the he shomer constitutes a lois esse, but he shomer de esse esse. But when there is an esse, and it says he shomer over shamarta in connection with it, then no, it means to reinforce the esse. So a shamarta, esse chokazos, there's no lav in that pasuk. The pasuk is saying bring the Korban Pesach in its proper time. So Rabbi Akiva would say the word v'shamarta is part of the esse. Be careful to do that esse, not be careful to avoid doing the lois esse. So therefore, it's no contradiction. There is, in fact, only a mitzvah saseh involved with bringing the Korban Pesach, not a lois esse. Shalayokat Bahaute means that a person shouldn't cut off his tzaras. So when the pasuk says Yishoma benegat tzaras, that constitutes a lois esse. Be careful if you have tzaras, or you have, let's say, white hairs in it, which make it tomei muchlat, you have if it grows, etc., etc. So don't cut it off or try to change it or conceal or whatever. Go to the kohen and have him diagnose it and send you off into quarantine or wherever you're supposed to be. Bris is an exception, right? Fine. So far we're saying that Rabbi Akiva holds that Shabbos is man tefillin. So the question is, v'savar Rabbi Akiva Shabbos is man tefillin? So really, you're telling me Rabbi Akiva holds that Shabbos is man tefillin? V'hatanya, we learn in another brisa, Rabbi Akiva, yochol yaniach odem tefillin b'shabbos es v'yam tovim. You would think that a person should put on tefillin on Shabbos and yam tov. No, tamad leima v'hoya l'chol ois al yodcha. The pasuk says they should be for an ois on your arm, meaning mish tzrichim ois. When do you put them on days when you need an ois, when you need a sign of our connection to Hashem, a sign that we're holding on to Hashem's Torah. Yotzu elu shehein gufon ois, as opposed to Shabbos and Yom Tov itself is an ois. Shabbos is, it says, ki ois hi beinu veinechem. Yom Tov is also called Shabbos, as we know, Mimachros a Shabbos, for example. That's Tosfos is arguing at the top of the Amud that Chol HaMoed should also be called an ois because we don't do Malacha and because we have the mitzvahs of Sukkah and not eating chametz on them, respectively. So Yotzu Eilu Shein Gufon Ois. Shabbos and Yom Tov and possibly Chol HaMoed themselves are considered an ois. So therefore you don't need tefillin on them. So Fakir Rabbi Akiva is saying you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What are we saying that he's the one who says you do? Just because he doesn't say that the pasuk for Shamarta as a chokah azos is talking about tefillin. Agav, you have an explanation, I think it comes from the Kolboy, that says the idea is a person always needs to have two oises with him. So you have as a constant thing, you have bris milah, which is an ois, v'hoyol ois bris. So you have on weekday, I think the Kolboy says this. So then on weekdays you have tefillin, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have Shabbos and Yom Tov, so you always have two oises with you. You always have like two edim that are testifying that you're connected with Hashem. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So we can't say that Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds Shabbos lav zman tefillin, because fine, he holds that the pasuk v'shamarta as a chukah zois is not talking about tefillin. He holds it's talking about Korban Pesach, but he says based on a different pasuk v'hoya l'chol ois al yodcha that you don't put on tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tov. So rather we have to say that it would be according to the following Tana. The Tanya, Haneir Balaila, if a person is up during the night, now even if we argue that Laila is Zman Tfilin, there still is Midrabanan. We don't want you to wear Tfilin at night because you may fall asleep in them. And in particular, if you fall asleep in them, you may pass gas. But let's say a person is awake at night, so there's no possibility he can control himself. That's really what we're worried about. No, not here hurim or anything. No, the real thing we're concerned about a person sleeping in tefillin is that he may pass gas. Yeah. You do have to have that you're not masiach das from tefillin, fine. But if you're falling asleep, that's fine, right? But that's not the primary reason why the chachamim don't want us to wear. With that said, we know that in the times of the Gemara, it was very common where people would wear tefillin all day long. Eventually, the minhag developed to only wear them during shacharis because we have such a hard time being mechaven anyway. Keeping a guf naki is hard enough in itself, but especially being mechaven. So therefore the minhag developed to only wear them for a short amount of time during the day, during the hour of shacharis. You can have kavana. You can avoid getting distracted. Well, that's also true. Yeah. Okay, fine. So Haneir Balaila, Rotza Choletz, Rotza Maniach, Divrei Rav Nosson. So Rav Nosson says if he wants to put on tefillin, he could put on tefillin at night. It's not considered Bal Tosif because nighttime is really a time to put on tefillin. It's only Midrabanan that not because he might pass gas. If he's awake, then that's not a problem, says Rav Nosson. Yonas and Akitoni says no. Ein Manichin tefillin Balaila. You don't wear tefillin at night. So, midalila l'tanakama zman tefillin, we should assume that since Rav Nosson holds that you can wear tefillin at night, which means, therefore, that he doesn't understand the pasuk for shamarta as a chokah azois, like Rav Yossi Aglili did before, where Rav Yossi Aglili had said that the words miyamim yamima mean not at night and not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So if he holds that nighttime is a valid time for tefillin, Shabbos nami zman tefillin, then we should assume, according to Rav Nosson, Shabbos is also a proper time to wear tefillin, because we're learning the miut from them from the same pasuk. But the Gemara says not necessarily. Why? Maybe Rav Nosson holds there's a difference. Nighttime can be a valid time to put on tefillin, but Shabbos not, because you could still say there's two different things. Yeah. Daha shamin and Rabbi Akiva. Shabbos loves man tefillin. After all, we just saw Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't dash in the pasuk for shamarta as a chokah azois. Therefore, he doesn't have a miut for the night, which means that according to him, tefillin are worn at night as well. But he learns from v'hoyo l'chol ha'ois that you don't wear them on Shabbos. So you see that not wearing them on Shabbos and not wearing them at night are not necessarily connected. No, we just said that Rabbi Akiva holds you don't wear them on Shabbos because v'hoyo l'chol ha'ois. No, Shabbos and Yom Tov not. Chol HaMoed, we don't know, because Chol HaMoed, you only have a machlokes that's beginning where you're beginning from later on, but at least... So that's what we're trying to figure out. We thought Rabbi Akiva holds you wear him on Shabbos and Yom Tov because he doesn't darish in the pasuk v'shamarta, but now we said no. But he has a different source where we say that you don't wear them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But that pasuk v'hoyo l'chol ha'ois is not talking about nighttime. So another. Okay. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it comes out that nighttime would be Zman Tefillin, Shabbos would not be Zman Tefillin. So there's no reason to assume that Rav Nosson, who says nighttime is Zman Tefillin, necessarily has to hold Shabbos Zman Tefillin. He could hold like Rabbi Akiva, that there's a difference. So you still don't have a Tana that says that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, which is what we're trying to figure out. Ela hai Tana. Rather, we can answer that it's the following Tana. The Tanya, Michal bas Kushi hoise manachas tefillin. Michal, the daughter of Kushi. Kushi is a nickname for Shol. We have in Tilim, Capital Zion begins Shigoyin Lashem, Shigoyin LaDavid, Ashashol Lashem, Al Divi Chush Ben Yemini. And the Gemara explains, and I think Rashi brings it on the pasuk over there, that Kush is a nickname for Shol. He's called Kush because the Gemara explains that a Cushi is distinguishable by his skin. A Cushi is an Ethiopian or an African or whatever, is very distinguishable with his dark skin. And nowadays, less so, because we live among them. But in those times, it was a very rare thing. The same way, Shol was very distinguishable and very noticeable by his Maisim Tovim. He was a real tzaddik. So he's nicknamed Cushi. And so the Gemara is using over here, Michal Bas Cushi means his daughter, David HaMelech's wife. So Hoisa Manachas Tefillin, she used to wear Tefillin V'loy michu b'chachamim. The chachamim did not protest against her. Now, the implication is that other women do not put on tefillin, and Tosfos discusses that over here. One point is because we just said tefillin tzrichin guf naki, and for women it's a little harder to make sure to do that. So therefore in general we don't. But Michal was known to be extra careful. Therefore the Chachamim allowed it. Although Tosfos actually brings from Psikta, from an early medrash that says that no, the Chacham did protest against Michal for doing that. But our Gemara is going according to the opinion that they didn't. Now, wouldn't you have a problem about Tosif? If she's not, that's what the Gemara is going to point out. That's the point. In other words, if it's a mitzvah esesh asman grama, then women are potter. That's the whole point. We're trying to show over here, if we can show that women are allowed to do it, like Michal Bastrol, then it means that it's not a mitzvah esesh asman grama. If it's not a mitzvah esesh asman grama, means you wear them on Shabbos. That's what we're out to prove over here. So the fact that loy michu b'chachamim, which had it been that it is a mitzvah esesh asman grama, and she's doing it even though she's potter, then it would be an issue of bal toisif. So the fact that the chachamim weren't moicha, according to this opinion, implies therefore that's not a mitzvah esesh asman grama, and women are chayiv. So okay, most women were still saying a potter from it because they can't be careful about a guf naki, but then in her case they allowed it. In Sifrei Kabbalah, it talks about deeper reasons why dafka she did it, because she had a neshama from Alma Dechura, she had a neshama from the male side of things, which is why, by the way, the Pasuk mentions that she didn't have any children. The Pasuk mentions Lo Hayala Yolad Ad Yei Mosa, because of Beruchnius, she wasn't equipped for it, so to speak. But there's also she. The Gemara is stressing that she's Bas Kushi, the daughter of the great Tzaddik Shmuel. Therefore the Chachamim knew, Shol, that therefore the Chachamim of her time knew that we can trust her to be careful with the Kedusha of the Tefillin, and therefore they could allow it. And there's different other reasons brought why exactly her. There is, by the way, a notion out there that Rashi's daughters wore Tefillin. There doesn't seem to be any marker for that. People came up with that notion at some point. There doesn't seem to be any solid evidence for it. Rashi didn't have any sons, right? He had four daughters, it seems. Two of them, yeah. Someone came over and he had a lot of children out. I don't know. Now, with that said, there are svarim from the times of the Rishonim that seem to imply that there were times and places where there were women who were putting on tefillin over there. So maybe somebody put two and two together incorrectly and said if there were women in those times, then Rashi's daughters, who were known actually to be great Talmidei Chachamim, they helped Rashi transcribe his copy out his Pirushim, etc. They were the mothers of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam and then the Rashbam, and one of them was, and then they were the mothers of great Chachamim. So therefore, somebody may have accidentally put two and two together that maybe they were among the women of those times who wore tefillin. But there's no actual evidence. Was they married to David? Yeah. Soon there's going to be a theory that they were all okay. Onward. So again, and the ishte shol Yona hoisa oila larego v'lo michu b'chachamim. Also, Yona's wife, the Navi Yona ben Amitai. Now, women are potter from aliyah larego. Now, well, they could, but it's one thing to go to Yerushalayim. It's another thing to actually be oila l'regel, to actually go into the Bais Mikdash and bring a korban oil and bring an oila sri'iya. That we're saying that she did that. V'loy michu b'chachamim, and the Chacham didn't protest, even though she's not chayiv in it. So you see, therefore, that tefillin is not necessary. So therefore, mi d'loy michu b'chachamim, since the Chachamim were not moicha in Michal for wearing tefillin, alma kasavri mitzvah sesa shalai azman gramahi. That shows that they held that tefillin is not a mitzvah sesa shazman grama. If it was a mitzvah sesa shazman grama, women would be potter. If women are potter, then what's she doing it? She'd be over on Bal Tosif. Yeah. Right, women brought korbanos, but yeah, here she's saying, I'm bringing it for the sake of an oila sri'iya. Yeah. Okay, the Gemara says that's not a solid proof. The Dilma Savala Kirab Yosi, the Amma Noshim Saimchas Rishus. Why? Maybe the Chachamim hold that women are in fact potter from tefillin and from aliyah l'regel, but they hold like Rabbi Yosi, who says that even though, now you have like this, the Torah tells us that when you bring certain kinds of korbanos, you have to do smicha on them, you lean down on the animal's head, b'chol koichai, but the Pasuk says Bnei Yisrael, implying that Bnei Yisrael do not do smicha, but Rabbi Yosi says they could do smicha if they want to, women can do smicha on the korban if they want to. It's not a matter of tznius. It's just that the Torah says that only men are chayev. So the Chachamim would say women shouldn't do it at all. Rabbi Yossi says if they want, they can do it. So fine, so we see that Rabbi Yossi will hold, even though you have a mitzvah that women are potter from, if they want to do it, they can do it. So maybe the same thing as far as tefillin. Maybe women are potter from it because it's a mitzvah seser shazman grama. Why was Michal doing it? Because the same way as women can be soymech on a korban. After all, if you weren't going to say like that, what about we say ishtesh or Yonah hoisa oilo l'regol v'lo michuva? We're saying that Yonah's wife did aliyah l'regol and brought a korban and brought an oilo suriya, and that Yonah ben Amitai, the Navi Yonah. Where there's the famous thing, he himself was oilo l'regol, he himself went to Simchas Beis HaSheva, and from there he got his nevuah. From there he got Simchas Beis HaSham Shoyavim, Ruach HaKodesh, that from the Simchas Beis HaSheva, you could gather, you could draw Ruach HaKodesh. So Yonah apparently one time went, and his wife also went with him. Well, he wasn't, at some point a person becomes a Navi, right? Chana used to go, but it doesn't say that she brought a korban for it. The Chum had the Kabbalah that Yonah's wife did. Actually, I saw an explanation on it from one of the Mephoshim who says that maybe what it is this is during the time when Yonah had run away, when he got on that ship and sailed away to Tarshish and everything. During that time, she went to the Beis Mikdash and brought a korban instead of him. Anyway, whatever it is. Maybe that's one of the Mephoshim brings that as a possibility. Anyway, whatever the case, so let's look at that case. We're saying that she was oilo l'regel and brought a korban and they weren't moicha. Look, even if you're going to argue about tefillin, whether it's a mitzvah seser shazman grama, there's no question aliyah l'regel is a mitzvah seser shazman grama. It only happens 3 times a year. So obviously, ela kasava rishus. So what must it be? Now we know everybody agrees that women are potter from mitzvah seser shazman grama. So how are we saying they weren't moicha and Yonah's wife? Because it's still rishus. Fine, they don't have to do it. But if they want, they... El hochanami rishus. You can answer the same thing. They allowed Michal Bas Shol to wear tefillin. Why? Because it's rishus. Because if she wants, she could do it. Doesn't necessarily show that she's required to do it, which would be the case if it wasn't a mitzvah seser shazman grama. So you still have no proof that anybody holds that Shabbos is man tefillin. In this connection, Tosfos brings up the famous discussion. Now, you're mentioning about davening, for example. Now, mind you, the Rambam holds that there is a chiyuv d'oraisa to daven at least once a day. And then midrabanan, we have 3 times a day. But you have other kinds of mitzvahs. There are other mitzvahs, shazman grama, where we know for sure that women are potter, shofar, lulav, a number of others. And the question is, are women able to do it if they want? And if so, can they make a bracha on it? So there's a famous machlokas on this. We know adayim azeh. Again, this is one of those things that you have Ashkenazim hold, like what Tosfos says over here, which eventually the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch, that they could do those mitzvahs if they want and even make a bracha on them, which is why we have that women, when you go, for example, on Miftsoyim on Rosh Hashanah, if you find a woman who hasn't heard Shofar yet, so ideally she makes the bracha, because then you have the question of whether you can make the bracha since you already heard. But if not, then you make the bracha for her. Why? Because based on this, that even though it's a rishus for them, they're still able to make a bracha on it. On the other hand, Sfardim follow the Rambam and the Beis Yosef, who says that you can't. So if you're blowing Shofar for a Sfardish woman, then no bracha will be said. Anyway, so the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so we still have no proof that anybody holds Shabbos as man tefillin. As far as women putting on tefillin, again, I mean, as Tosfos pointed out on Amud Aleph, you do have with tefillin, given that you need guf naki, then there you have more of a reason that even if we were to say that technically women are chayavin, that the chum would ask you it, which is why we have nowadays that women don't wear tefillin, and those who do is, you know, they're not necessarily doing it for the most kosher of motives. You have the women of the wool and whatever. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Okay, so again, so we're still trying to figure out which Tana would hold Shabbos Zman Tefillin. So, Ela Hai Tani. We can answer it's the following Tana. Now let's go back to what we talked about in the Mishnah about bringing in Tefillin from the outside on Shabbos. The Tanya, Hamoitzi Tefillin, Machnissen Zug Zug. Person finds tefillin out in the field, he can bring them in by wearing them one pair at a time. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha, whether a man or whether a woman. that the Mishnah, then the Mishnah hadn't said that. The Braisa is saying that. The Braisa is mentioning Echad Ish ve'Echad Isha, Echad Chadoshes ve'Echad Yishana, is Divir HaMeir, whether they're new tefillin or whether they're old tefillin, which as we learned in a Mishnah, as we learned in the Mishnah, when they're new, you have the question of whether they're actually Kameis rather than tefillin. We're going to take up that point soon in the Gemara. But he's saying that either way, divir meir, Rabbi Yehuda oisa b'chadoshes or matke b'yishanes. Rabbi Yehuda says not if they're new because they might be a kameya, but you can if they're old because then definitely you can see that they're tefillin. So ad kam le pligi ela b'chadoshes v'yishanes. So we see therefore that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are only arguing about new versus old tefillin. Aval b'isha le pligi, but they're not arguing about a woman. They're saying that a woman is allowed the same way to put on the tefillin and bring them into the city. That shows that according to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a mitzvah seser shazman groma. Therefore, women are chayev. Therefore, they're able to wear tefillin on Shabbos just as much as men. So fine, usually we would say not because gufnaki, but essentially the chiyuv is on them the same as it is on men. So therefore, when it comes on Shabbos, then we're going to allow them to carry it in. Tosfos points out, if it weren't for that, if we said that women don't wear tefillin, then the result would be that even though it's considered a malbush, it's considered a garment as far as men, it wouldn't be considered a garment as far as women, and they wouldn't be allowed to because they'd be mechalal Shabbos if they did. Which actually, according to the Meir and Rabbi Yossi, that's what we're saying. Now, the Magen Avraham later on says, based on this, if we're saying ultimately that the halacha is that tefillin are a mitzvah seser shazman groma, and therefore women are potter from it, and therefore we're saying women are not allowed to wear tefillin, and we even are moiche in women who are, unless they're michal bas shol, then based on that, it would come out that if a woman finds tefillin out in the field, then she wouldn't be able to bring them in. She'd have to just wait there until after Shabbos and then carry them in. The Alter Rebbe brings that in Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, you have different achronim that he brings it as that's how it should be. In general, the Maharil, the Alter Rebbe's brother, writes that the Alter Rebbe, when he wrote his Shulchan Aruch, he relied a lot on the Magen Avraham. Right. Then he writes that later on, as the Alter Rebbe got older and then more mature in his thinking in halacha, then he started arguing with the Magen Avraham in many places, and he wanted to rewrite the Shulchan Aruch. We have the Kuntres Achron, which is the beginning of a new version where he discusses the pilpulim behind the halacha. We have the first four simanim. We have here and there, and in Hilchos Shabbos, there's Ma'adura Basra. So all of those represent the Alter Rebbe's later thinking on these halachas. So in the end, it's very possible that if the Alter Rebbe had had the time and had lived longer and whatever, and hadn't been busy with the jail and everything, then he would have rewritten this part and argued with the Magen Avraham. But we don't know. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So we see that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are saying that a woman is able to wear tefillin on Shabbos, implying that it's not a mitzvah sesha. So shmamin a mitzvah sesha shalei asman groma hu, implying it's not a mitzvah sesha shazman groma. So therefore, you wear them on Shabbos. B'chol mitzvah sesha shein asman groma noshim chayavus. So there you go. There we finally found the Tana that says that Shabbos is man tefillin. But the Gemara says, "V'dulma savalak Rabbi Yosi d'ama noshim simchas rishus." How do you know? Maybe Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree with Rabbi Yosi that we said before about smicha. That just like we said, Rabbi Yosi agrees that women are potter from smicha on a korban, but he says they can do it if they want. Maybe Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda would say the same thing. It is a mitzvah seser shazman grama, but they could do it if they want, at least on a daraisa level. The answer is no. You can't think that way. We can show that neither Rab Meir nor Rab Yehuda holds like Rab Yosi in this din. We know that Rab Meir doesn't hold like Rab Yosi. We can prove that. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. We don't prevent children from blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or even when it comes out on Shabbos. Even though we know we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shachalias for Shabbos because of Gzeira Diraba. But if children want to blow shofar, then we allow them. We're not required to stop them. We're not required to stop them based on the dinim of chinuch. Implying hon noshim ma'akvin. Now the implication is children we don't have to stop, but women we do. Now even though blowing shofar is not really, it's not a matter of chilul yomtiv, it's not a malacha, it's a chachma rather than a malacha. But you have the problem of bal tosif, ustam masnis in a meir. Now a stam mishnah is according to the meir. Well, maybe not Baal Tosef. Rashi just says miu niros kemo sifra. So it looks like they're adding to the mitzvah because we're not supposed to blow a shofar on that day, and they were going and blowing. In Yerushalayim, they did, but outside Yerushalayim, not. So whatever. So the Mishnah is implying that if a woman wants to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos, we'll tell her not to. That's according to, and that Mishnah is according to the mayor. Now, according to the Yosi, why should we stop her? It's not a malacha. Let them do it if they want, just like they can do smicha if they want. So that shows the mayor disagrees with the Yosi. The Lord of Yehuda Savalok of Yosi. We can also show that Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, in connection with smicha, a brisa says the pasuk says Dabar al bnei Yisrael v'samach, speak to bnei Yisrael, and the pasuk mentions if they bring a korban, then they do smicha, implying bnei Yisrael soimchin ve'en bnei Yisrael soimchis. Only bnei Yisrael, only Jewish men do smicha. Bnei Yisrael do not. That according to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon omim noshim soimchis rishus. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon say they could do smicha if they want. And who is the Tanakhama over there? Ustam sifra mani Rabbi Yehuda. Just like we say stam mishneh as Rabbi Meir, stam sifra. The Sifra is the Medrash on Torah's Koinim, that Darsh on Sefer Vayikra, that Darshan's the Psukim, Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, the Tanakhama over there is Rabbi Yehuda. And we see, therefore, that he argues with Rabbi Yosi and says that no, they can't be Somich even if they want to. Okay, so Tosfos mentions, I mean, there is also the consideration that Rabbi Yehuda, that you do have the point that when it comes to smicha, you do have the issue of avoida b'kodshim. We know you're not allowed to do malacha with animals of kodshim, and if you do smicha when you're not supposed to, then it would be avoida. The point is, in other words, that Rabbi Yehuda says just because once a woman is potter from it, then she's not allowed to do it. So by the same token, in other words, said Rabbi Yehuda, and when Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say that women are allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos, we can't say it's because they're allowed to because if they wanted, they could. In other words, they're potter from it even during the week, being that it's a mitzvah seser shazman grama, but they could if they want to. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of that concept. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if a woman is potter from a mitzvah, then we don't allow her to do it. Just like Rabbi Meir had said when it comes to shofar, and what Rabbi Yehuda is saying when it comes to smicha. So therefore, if we're allowing them to wear the tefillin on Shabbos in order to bring them in from the field, it must be that they hold that in fact women are chayev in tefillin in the first place. Another din. Now the Gemara is going to start another discussion, which is going to relate back to what we said about tefillin and kameis. So the outcome is so far that we finally found Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold Shabbos Zman Tfilinu. That is why they say that if a woman finds tefillin out in the field on Shabbos, she can wear them one pair at a time and bring them into the city. She's not over on she because for her it's a malbush, because even during the week she could be putting on tefillin at least on a daraisa level. If she should be putting on tefillin, she should be, according to them, she should be putting on tefillin on a weekday on a daraisa level because it's not a mitzvah seser shazman grama. They're chayiv not like any other mitzvah. I say okay, the chachamim will tell them not because guf naki, but on a daraisa level at least they're chayiv and tefillin according to them. So yeah. So if we say that it's a mitzvah seser shazman groma, meaning that we would say Shabbos lav zman tefillin, then we would say women are potter from it. That is in fact the halacha. We do consider it to be a mitzvah seser shazman groma. That is why women are potter from it. According to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying that actually no, it's not a mitzvah seser shazman groma. You would have to wear tefillin on Shabbos. And therefore it's like any other mitzvah sase, which is not bound by time, and therefore women are chayiv in it. According to them, maybe men do put on tefillin on Shabbos. If a mayor or a behorder were around nowadays, they might tell us we should. In those days, I guess they put on tefillin on Shabbos. Yeah, I don't know. All right. Amar Rabbi Elazar, hamotze tcheles bashuk. If a person finds tcheles in the market, now the problem in the street. Now the problem is that tcheles has to be dyed lishma. The same way as we have certain mitzvahs that have to be done lishma, matzah has to be made lishma, tefillin have to be written lishma, tefillin, sefer Torah, whatever have to be written lishma. The same way, tchelas for tzitzis has to be dyed lishma. So if you find tchelas in the street and you don't know, you say you don't know what the status of it, lishonis psulis, If you find strips of it, meaning that you have, that what they would do is they'd take the wool, they'd comb it out and make strips out of it, and then they would dye those strips. Later on, they would break those strips down into fibers and then spin them into thread. So if you find them like that, as strips, then psulois, because they may not have been dyed lishma, chutin kshedin. But if you find strings that are dyed tchelas, then they're kosher and you can use them for tzitzis. Well, that's the question. Maishna l'shoynus. Why is it different? It was saying if it's strips, daminan adaita de glimat savinu. We say the problem is the person who dyed them may have dyed them not for tzitzis at all, but rather to just use in a regular garment. Okay, I mean tchelus is expensive stuff, but still, you know, you could have, you know, you had korach talos shakula tchelus, right? So yeah, sometimes a person wears a garment with tchelus in it. So then tchutin nami neima adaita de glimat avinu. Wouldn't you have the same thing when it comes to threads? You could have the same thing. Maybe he spun them into threads, intending to use them to make a garment, not to make tzitzis. The answer is bishzurim. We're talking about not just that they're made into threads, but then the threads are twisted together. Like we have our tzitzis, where after the individual threads are spun, then they take the threads and twist them together to make a thicker thread. You look here, you look closely at your tzitzis, you see the twist in them. Now, people are not going to go to that much trouble if they're doing it just in order that you don't do that in order to weave. When you're weaving, you use thinner, when you're weaving, you don't use such thick threads. Yeah. So the question is, shzurim nami neima adaita de sifse de glima aifinu. Okay, but you could say, fine, you don't use them to weave the actual beged. But maybe he made them, he dyed them and spun them and then twisted them together in order to use them for the hem of the garment, in order to sew them around as a border on the edge of the garment. So those you use thicker ones. The answer is b'mufsokin. The answer is we're talking about they're not only shazer, they're also split. They're also cut into threads. They're also cut into shorter threads of the size for tzitzis. So it's not one long hank of thread. It's a bunch of shorter threads that are tied together. Let's say. So the point is, people don't go to that much tircha. After all, if you needed them for the hem of a garment, you would have left them all as one long thing, because then you're going to sew it onto the hem of the garment. Like this, you're going to have to tie them back together and then start sewing them on the hem. People aren't going to do that. So if he went to that much trouble, then it shows he made them for the purpose of tzitzis. Now comes the relevance of that to our Gemara. Amar Rava. So Rava says, if the logic is that we're saying that once there's so much tircha done, then a person is not going to bother doing it for any purpose other than the mitzvah, then by that logic, would a person do the tircha to make a kameya in the shape of tefillin? That we should be concerned that if he finds tefillin, they might actually be kameyas. The tnan that we learned in our Mishnah, actually we learned in the Braisa, we said that if they were new tefillin, then you're potter, and not only potter, you can't bring them in on Shabbos by wearing them because they might be kameyas, and the heter of saving them only applies to actual tefillin. So what would be the difference between new and old in that case? So according to Rava, it seems that the point is, therefore, apparently we don't accept this argument of Eidonim Tereach. So therefore, when it comes to the tzitzis strings, yes, we should say maybe a person does go to all that tircha and makes them, but in the end he made them for glima, for the edge of a garment, not for tzitzis, and therefore they're possible. The same way as we're saying that a person might go to the trouble of making a kameya in the same shape as tefillin. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to point out the essential difference between new and old tefillin really has to do not so much with the tefillin themselves, but with the ritzuas. Do you have on the ritzuas where you can see that there were the knots that are made for the tefillin, the dalad knot and the yud knot? Right now, we're not up to that point. Right now, we're not up to that point in the Gemara yet. Right now, we're thinking the essential thing is that neither one of them are tied. And neither you find tefillin, the straps are not tied. The difference is that yeshonis, you can tell they used to have a knot in them. Chadoshis, you can't tell one way or the other. But still, otherwise they look exactly like tefillin. And we're saying they might be a kameya. So that shows a person might go and make something that looks exactly like tefillin, which is not tefillin. The same way a person might make something that looks exactly like tzitzis strings and is not tzitzis strings. So the Gemara continues. So Rabzeira tells his son Ava, actually puk toni lahu. He says, go out and tell the chachamim who are wondering about this, who are wondering about this din of Rabbi Lazar, what's the case where we say that these strings are kosher. Go teach them a braisa that says as follows: hamotze tcheles bashuk l'shonis psulim. Again, if it's strips of tcheles, then it's possible. Chutin mufsokin ksherin. Once it's cut into strings, then already it's kosher. Lefi she'en adam tereach, explicitly because a person doesn't go to the tircha. In other words, we're trying to figure out, are people going to that tircha or not? So Rav Zeira says to Rav Abba, go tell them explicitly that once it's mufsakin, then ein adam tereach. Amar Rava, so Rava says, very nice, we have a braisa. Umishum de toni la Ava breda Rav Zeira kipi toli la. So what? Just because Ava, the son of Rav Zeira, teaches us a braisa, does that, are there pearls or nose rings hanging from it? In other words, why is this braisa? Okay, it's a braisa, very nice. It's not like this braisa is so decorated that we have to accept it, that gives the ultimate reason. V'hotnan, we learned, by Medvarim and Rabbi Yishonis, Ava B'chadosh's Potter. We said that there's a difference between old tefillin and new tefillin. New tefillin, your potter, implying that a person might go to the tircha of making a kameya that looks like tefillin. So what are you telling me? That once once there's a lot of tircha involved, a person is not going to do that, and we can assume that it's tzitzis strings. So, okay, it's very nice. You have a braisa, she'en onam terdeach. Our Mishnah seems to contradict that and says, yes, a person might be terdeach. Elo, Amar Rabba, torach vale torach tanoi. So Rabba says the answer is it is actually a machlokas tanoim. This that Rabbi Lazar and then that Ava, the son of Rabbi Zeira, are telling us that it's a given that once there's enough tircha, then they're kosher for tzitzis, not necessarily. There's actually a machlokas tanoim on that subject. The Tanya, hamoitzet tefillin machnissen zug zug. A braisa says a person finds tefillin, he can carry them in one pair at a time, wear them in one pair at a time. Echad ish ve'echad isha, whether a man or a woman, as we said before, because Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, we said aloud, but say that both men and women are chayev in tefillin. Echad chadoshes ve'echad yishonis divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir had said whether it's new or whether it's old, which shows Rav Meir holds einonim tereach. When you have, even though they're new, and we don't know yet whether they were tefillin, we can assume the fact that they're in the shape of tefillin means that they're actually tefillin, because he wouldn't have gone to the trouble of making a kameya that looks like tefillin. Rabbi Yehuda, well, the pouches you can't see because they're on the inside, but yeah. Rabbi Yehuda oisa b'chadoshes or matir b'yishonis. Rabbi Yehuda says it's also by new ones, it's mutter by old ones. In other words, he says that a person might make a kameya that looks like tefillin. Alma mar sava tarach or mar sava loy tarach inish. So we mar sava tarach inish or mar sava loy tarach inish. So we see it's actually machlokas tanoyim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether a person would go to that tircha. The same machlokas therefore would affect the tzitzis strings, where Rabbi Meir would hold. Rav Meir would hold, like Rav Elazar is saying, and like Ava is saying, that Eidonim Tereach. So once you find them it cut to the length of tzitzis strings, then you can assume that they're tzitzis strings. Rav Yehuda would say, no, possibly Adam Tereach, a person might make a kameya like tefillin. The same thing, even if they're cut to the length of tzitzis strings, they still might be that he plans to tie them back together and use them for a garment. Therefore, they'd be possible for tefillas. So again, based on the Gemara over here, the Gemara doesn't actually say one way or the other. We mentioned Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that women can carry him in. The Magen Avraham seems to be the first one to bring up the point that if a woman found it, she wouldn't be able to, because ultimately we say Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. Women are potter because the mitzvah says such as man grama. And in fact, we discourage women from wearing tefillin because, like we said, gufnaki. Therefore, it's not normal for them to wear them during the week. Therefore, for them to wear it on Shabbos, it can't be considered a tachshit. It would be considered that they're carrying it. So if a man finds it on Shabbos, he can wear it in one pair at a time, like the Tanakhama says. Now, well, new ones were saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not because they might actually be kameyas. Okay, yeah, the question maybe nowadays that it's uncommon to make kameyas at all, let alone in the shape of tefillin, maybe. But on the other hand, you know, you also have, there can be possible tefillin, there can be toy tefillin, whatever. So maybe you might still have the same consideration. But yeah. So that's where we are so far. We found that there are tanoim who say Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, and Tanoim who say Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, and now we're saying that there's a machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Adam Tereach or not. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, who hold that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, they wouldn't hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that it's a matter of an ois. They would say, it doesn't matter that you have an ois of Shabbos, you still have a mitzvah to put on tefillin every day. We had a few different opinions on the subject. Is it that we say that tefillin is b'chalal not a mitzvah seser shazman groma, which would mean that women are chayiv in it? Do we say that it's a mitzvah seser shazman groma, you potter at night and you potter on Shabbos, you don't wear them at night or on Shabbos and Yom Tov because v'shamarta esachuk hazoros l'mayodam yom yomimah? That was Rabbi Yossi Haglili. We had that you don't wear them at night, but you do wear them at night, but you don't wear them on Shabbos, as Rabbi Akiva, because ois. So you say, yeah, I have a couple of different opinions. L'maisa, in Shulchan Aruch, it's Paskin, you don't wear tefillin at night. The one thing is, it says, if a person is wearing tefillin and it comes shkia, he should take them off, of course, but it's halacha v'ein modin kain. The halacha is he actually could keep them on into the night, but we don't paskin for somebody who comes to ask about that. We don't paskin that he should do that. If he does, then fine. If you have the one it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, one case, let's say you have a person needs to continue wearing them at night in order to guard them. Let's say if he takes them off and puts them in a case, he's not going to be able to guard them to make sure that mice or whatever don't get to them. So then he is actually allowed to wear them at night in order to be able to watch them. Yeah. Yeah, we learned in Erev, and actually we learned earlier in Or Masechta that, yeah, learning Torah at night is a big source. Right, but that's, I mean, yeah, so there's a, I mean, there is a certain connection between learning Torah, between learning Torah and wearing tefillin. In fact, in fact, the Ur Sameach in this connection makes that connection. He says, why is it that women are potter from tefillin? Because they're potter from Talmud Torah. So then there's a certain connection over there, but yeah. Actually, the pasuk says on it, "L'mam tia tera sasher b'ficha." So yeah, so there is a certain connection. But the halacha is you don't wear tefillin at night. Tosfos and Amun Aleph actually mentions the Gemara mentions elsewhere that there were we learned in brachas that there were places where they had a minhag that they would make a bracha when they took off their tefillin. We don't do that. However, Tosfos says even they would only do that if they're taking it off before shkia. Because then, if you're taking it off earlier in the day, you're not accomplishing any mitzvah by taking it off. When you take them off before the nighttime, then you're accomplishing something because Laila loves man tefillin. We don't make such a bracha. However, it does say that when the line that we say in uvolatziyin, shenishmer chokecha ba'olam hazeh v'niskei v'nichyeh, etc., is like a vestige of that bracha. In fact, I've seen it. It quoted that the Rebbe would touch his tefillin at that time when he got to that part in token of the fact that this has to do with taking off the tefillin. I didn't know much about that. That's what I've heard of. Yeah. Okay.